Welcome to another edition of your Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about menopause in the first half with Barb Dean. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about Lyme disease and fibromyalgia with Dr. Teitelbaum. But before we do that, here is Reg with the health news.
A new study contends watching action shows on TV may be bad for your waistline. People eat much more snack food while watching action films and programs than something less exciting, according to the Cornell University researchers. The study included 94 undergraduate students who were provided with M&Ms, cookies, carrots, and grapes while they watched 20 minutes of television. One-third of the participants watched a segment of the action movie The Island, while another third watched The Charlie Rose Show. The final third watched the same segment of The Island without sound. People who watched The Island ate almost twice as many snacks as those watching the talk show. Those watching without sound ate 36% more. The study was published September 1st. In the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. A study conducted by researchers at Penn State found those with type 2 diabetes may be able to improve the way their body responds to stress by eating 2 servings of pistachios daily. After following a typical American diet for 2 weeks, which consisted of 36% fat and 12% saturated fats, the participants were then put on 1 of 2 test diets provided by the study. The first diet was a heart-healthy one. The second diet involved eating 2 servings daily of pistachios with meals. Upon completion of the diet phase, the pistachio group had lower vascular constriction during stress and improved neural control of the heart. Energy drinks can cause heart problems, according to research presented at ESC Congress 2014. The current study analyzed adverse events reported to the agency between January 1, 2009 and November 30, 2012. During the 2-year period, 257 cases were reported to the agency, of which 212 provided sufficient information for food and drug safety evaluation. The experts found 95 of the reported adverse events had cardiovascular symptoms, 74 psychiatric, and 57 neurological, sometimes overlapping. Cardiac arrest and sudden or unexplained deaths occurred in at least 8 cases, while 46 people had heart rhythm disorders, 13 had angina, and 3 had hypertension. And finally, a study published in the open access journal Frontiers in Psychology reports a diet of junk food not only makes rats fat, but also reduces their appetite for novel foods, a preference that normally drives them to seek a balanced diet. The study helps to explain how excessive consumption of junk food can change behavior, weaken self-control, and lead to overeating and obesity. The team of researchers taught young male rats to associate each of 2 different sound cues with a particular flavor of sugar water. Healthy rats raised on a healthy diet stopped responding to cues linked to a flavor in which they had recently overindulged. But after 2 weeks on a diet that included daily access to cafeteria foods, including pie, dumplings, cookies, and cake, they became indifferent in their food choices and no longer avoided the sound, advertising the overfamiliar taste.
Thanks for that, Reg. Our first guest, Barb Dean, is a registered nurse, and she's also known as Nurse Barb. She's a practicing women's health nurse practitioner, an award-winning author, and a nationally recognized health expert. She's written a book called A Hot Guide to a Cool, Sexy Menopause. Barb, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us a little bit about, why you wanted to write this book and why you thought that we needed another book on menopause.
Well, you know, I see a lot of women in my practice, and sometimes they come in and they're wondering, am I normal? And I want to say to every listener out there, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you are dealing with your own symptoms or perhaps a woman that you know, her symptoms, whether it's a new hair growth or a new menopause pot belly that suddenly appeared overnight, or some hot flashes or night sweats, maybe some irritability or some sleeping issues, you are normal, but you can get through it.
How do you define normal? Like, how do we define normal for, I mean, I guess we could ask about men as well, but how do we define normal for women in this context?
Well, we typically notice that periods will start to become a little bit irregular. So when women go from having pretty predictable periods that they can, they'll say, well, gee, they're coming once a month, or, you know, I know when they're going to happen and I know how long they're going to last, to when they're not really very predictable. That's typically the first sign. Then women might start to have some hot flashes. Maybe they can't drink hot coffee anymore or take a hot shower. They may start to feel warm if they get a stressful email or someone cuts them off in traffic. Or they wake up in the middle of the night and they have maybe some feelings of being sweaty in the back of their neck. All of these things are normal. Maybe they're a little bit irritable. Maybe they're not sleeping through the night. I guess the best thing to do is to talk to your own healthcare provider if you're suddenly experiencing some symptoms. Or, of course, you could always buy my book or go to my website, nursebarb.com.
Well, Nurse Barb, tell us a little bit about at what age people start getting menopause, women, and has this changed over the years?
Well, you'd think that, you know, we think that a lot of girls are experiencing puberty earlier, but the age of menopause really is about the same. It's about 51 to 52. And the best predictor of when a woman will go through menopause is for her to ask her mom or her sisters, because it's really, really seems to be genetically determined. And what we know about menopause is that menopause is actually very surprising. It's just one day out of your whole life. And menopause really is that day when you haven't had a period for 12 months. So if you haven't had a period for 12 months and you say, gee, I haven't had a period, well, that day you're in menopause. And then the next day you're considered postmenopausal. But most women consider that transitional time when they're having a lot of hot flashes, night sweats, sort of the periods from hell, that's usually perimenopause when they have most of their symptoms. They consider that sort of menopausal. But any time where you're going through a lot of transition, we consider that menopause. Now, men have a manopause or an andropause, and we can talk about that too if you like.
Yeah, let's talk about that as well.
Well, you know, all of us, as we age, we do notice some changes in our hormonal levels. So it's not just our ovaries that produce hormones, but it's also our adrenal glands. And men will notice some normal changes in their levels of testosterone and some of their other androgenic hormones. And they may notice things like a change in sex drive or a change in their sleeping patterns. So men will also notice what we call andropause, or a male menopause. And I think it's really important to talk to their healthcare providers about it. You know, women are much more used to seeing a healthcare provider regularly and talking about things. And I think it's a little bit more difficult for men to do that. They typically will go in only if there's a problem. But I want to encourage men. You know, it's not a bad idea to go in and talk about these things if you're noticing any changes.
Now, what should men know about women going through menopause, their partners?
Well, if you are involved with a woman, I think the first thing that most men care about, and please excuse me for generalizing, but a lot of men want to know about sex, and they want to know about intimacy. And so number one is, if you're noticing that your partner has some changes in sexuality, whether it's a change in interest or libido, don't take it personally. Things are changing in both of your bodies, and many women are just more tired, and so they may not be as interested. Number two, sex may become more uncomfortable because of some changes around the genitals, and so that is not to be taken personally. So there may be changes in lubrication, and things may need to be a little bit more creative, and people may need to take a little bit longer or spend some time in the pharmacy aisle looking for some lubrication so that they can have more enjoyable and less painful consensual intimacy.
What about night sweats? Are they affecting men as well?
I think night sweats do affect men. I'm married to a man. I've been married for 28 years to my husband, and I know that when I have a night sweat and I throw the covers off, it does affect my husband because the covers are coming off of him as well. And when I jump up to go to the bathroom, it disturbs him. So I think that when women are sleeping with men, our nighttime waking is affecting them. Also, you know, both men and women at midlife are snoring. And I think that we can affect each other's sleeping. So that's also important to remember. Also, restless leg affects nighttime sleeping. So sleeping issues are huge at midlife. And it's important for people to talk to their healthcare providers about snoring. I think that's one issue that we all should be aware of. Snoring is not a sign of restful sleep. It's typically a sign of sleep apnea or pauses in breaths, and it can lead to heart attack, atrial fibrillation, and some more serious consequences. So if you or your partner are snoring, it's time to talk to your healthcare provider.
What about during the day? You know, we're talking a lot about menopausal symptoms at night. What do women notice during the day that, you know, they probably need to be aware of, and that, you know, men either working with them or living with them need to be aware of as well?
Well, if you have any menopausal women in your life, you may have noticed that it's very cold where you live, and not just in Canada. And you might have to be wearing sweaters because we've turned the air conditioning down. We've got fans on. Everybody else has to wear a sweater because we like it at Arctic cold temperatures. So you may have noticed that we're not drinking hot coffee anymore. It has to be iced. And that little things can make us turn red in the face, or beads of sweat are pearling on our foreheads. You may have noticed that we tend to be a little bit more irritable, maybe, if we're not getting a full night's sleep. And I think that sometimes it's good to just bite your tongue if you feel like we're not... maybe not as friendly as we used to be. I think the other thing that happens at midlife for a lot of women is that we know that overnight about 10 pounds has been deposited at our midsection. We are very well aware of this, and it's really nice if it's not mentioned by the people around us. We're doing all we can to try to drop those few extra pounds that suddenly appeared overnight. We're not eating brownies and hot fudge sundaes every night, but we are noticing a shift in the way our fat is distributed.
Mm. Now, what about, you know, the symptoms of menopause? You mentioned at 51, you know, or 50 or 51, most people or most women are reaching that period of menopause. Do the symptoms come on just like that? How quickly do they come on, and how do they last? And is there, you know, is it straight on hot flashes from day X onward?
You know, I'm so glad you asked, because for some women, menopause is like a gentle breeze, and they barely notice any symptoms at all. It's like, you know, no big deal, and they don't know what all their friends are crying about and whining about. But for other women, it's like a class 5 hurricane. Mm. It's like gale force winds out, you know, in the straits of San Juan de Fuca over there by Vancouver Island. You can't escape them. They come on overnight, and they hit you like a freight train. So everyone's experience of menopause is different. It's like riding a hormonal roller coaster. And some women will have very intense symptoms for a month or two, and then they'll go away. Other women will have, you know, nary a symptom, and then they'll come on once in a while, a few months here and there. So, you know, every woman's experience is very, very different, and it can change every 3 to 6 months.
We're talking with Barb Dean. She's written a book called The Hot Guide to a Cool, Sexy Menopause. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about menopause and what you can do to really feel good during that period of time.